VentureCast.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Earned it. Yeah, got it.
Okay.
I like how it lets me know that.
I'm recording too, but as a backup, but you are probably recording.
Fellas, how are you?
Timmy, welcome back, man.
Oh, man.
He's kind of back. He's back from Utah, but he has moved to a secondary isolated location, apparently.
I have emerged from the Utah wilderness. I am now hunkered down in a undisclosed location near Boston. That's all I can say at this point. But boy, Utah people, what a state. Huh? Ben, you've been there.
I did. I really enjoyed traveling around to Utah. It's great.
Jeff Simons, have you been there yet?
I have. I've been to the major places. My college girlfriend was from Salt Lake City. So I spent a month in Salt Lake City after graduation and got to know the Provo area pretty well and shot fireworks off in the Bonneville Salt Flats and did all kinds of Utah stuff.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, Welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys. Tim, Jeff, and Ben are back in the world of Wi-Fi, like acceptable Wi-Fi.
Thank God, because I'm sure the cards and letters have been rolling in of what a crap job Ben and I
Without
did.
You, Timmy, we were lost. We were lost.
That was a really frustrating recording experience. But
you know what the worst part was, Timmy? We never found out what that guacamole was.
But I was thinking, you know, we're kind of artists, and artists put out their art, and sometimes it lands and sometimes it doesn't. So Ben, I'll ask you, did The Who ever put out an album that didn't really connect?
I am not going to answer that question. That's just going to reach from California to here to choke me.
Nah.
Jeff Simons, did the Rolling Stones ever swing and miss?
Never.
An album?
Never. Everyone a banger. I was thinking about it. Like, was last week's episode an example of artists swinging and missing, or just like Gen Xers who show up to work and I don't care if it's 4 degrees and the power is out, but I'm supposed to be here and I'm going to be here. I felt like it was proof of our journeyman work ethic. These are three men who will keep chipping away at the wall with a spoon if that's what they're supposed to do. And that's what I felt like last week's episode was trying to tear down a brick wall with a salad fork.
That's so very impressive, Jeff. I like turning failure into success.
We put out a podcast every Wednesday. Come hell or high water or Page, Arizona.
That's going to be the new slogan for the show.
Yeah.
Try and stop us. We should have t-shirts that say, try and stop us, Page, Arizona. I think that would be great.
Welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys on the Electricast podcast network. We have been so fortunate in putting this podcast together over the last couple of years. Let's just keep our fingers crossed that none of the big wigs listened to last week's episode. that would keep our luck going. Jeff Simons, welcome to 2018. Hit us with the Grammy-winning album of 2018.
It would be a pleasure in this case to do so.
Oh, I bet you think you're John Wayne, showing up and shooting down everybody. You're classic in the wrong way, and we all know. Knows someone who kills the buzz every time they open up their mouth.
Holy shit, that won the Grammy this year? I had no idea.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, they were fucking on fire this year, because didn't Childish Gambino win Song of the Year?
Yeah, he sure did.
Oh,
good year for the Grammys.
I really, really, really like, I mean, this record would have been my album of the year, but I chose it as Song of the Year. So for Slow Burn.
So this was the album where you called your family and said, Kacey Musgraves made the leap. She's made
totally,
the leap.
Totally.
Yeah.
The whole record's great. I mean, Slow Burn is in its own category. The whole record's great. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And this is a great Bonnaroo memory. This is when she released all of those bouncing earth balls on us.
Yeah.
And
totally.
The big end of set. Like, I don't even love the sound of this track, but I love this track. It's fun as hell.
Jeff Simons, what's the name of that song you chose?
It's called High Horse.
Well, well, well. It just so happens that I was on a high horse this past week in Bryce Canyon, where the entire Plain family went on a trail ride through Bryce Canyon. First of all, shout out to Cowboys, because that hurts after a while. Hurts my butt, hurts my knees, but we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about horse songs. Because there I was on Clyde. Great shout out to Clyde. Great horse / mule. Clyde had me singing horse songs throughout the trail ride. And I was wondering, you guys have horse songs that you like and songs that you dislike with bad horse songs. Jeff Simons, you want to start us off?
I'll do my top five favorite horse songs.
You're going to go with good ones first.
Hold on, let's just go ahead and tell us. There's an obvious answer for the worst song about a horse.
Oh, yeah, but we're all going to agree on that, so I'm not going to bother.
Just do good. Let's start bad. Let's start all right, negative.
The worst song about horses is A Horse Ever. With No Name by America.
Easily. That is correct.
Easily.
Is
correct. In fact, my hot take is that song ruins using horses in a song. Like, all of these songs I'm going to name transcend the use of horses, because the songs are so good. But once I heard A Horse With No Name, I was like, I don't ever want to hear a song about a horse ever again. A Horse With No Name is boring and lazy. It rips off Neil Young. It just commits so many atrocities. And it's so popular. I hear that song against my will 100 times a year. I really hate that song. And I assume you both agree.
Your college band, where you are not in charge of picking the songs.
Did they play Sister Golden Hair?
There's a great story of that. The drummer and I hated that Sister Golden Hair song. And everybody, it was totally democratic. Everybody just got to pick two songs, and that was a show. And so it was the most schizophrenic set ever. But right before we were about to do Sister Golden Hair, the drummer looks at me and says, "Just follow me." And he counts it off. Double time, and we did Sister Golden Hair at like 130 BPMs, like doom ba ba doom boom ba. So the speed of the singing was, well, I woke up this morning and I was so damn depressed. And we're
playing. That sounds pretty good.
I just dig in. I'm just going like Entwistle, like boom doo 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 doo, and everybody else in the band is like, boy, that seems a little fast. But the lead singer knew what we were doing, and so he was cursing us out. Like, he would be like, will you meet me? And they turn around, fuck you. He was so mad. I actually thought he was going to take a swing at us. It's one of my favorite college band memories of all time.
Along with the topic of bad horse songs, one of my favorite things to do when tasked with this sort of thing is I just look up best horse songs. And then the selections are so bad. So needless to say, on this blog, the very first one is Horse With No Name. There's like 15 entries of best horse ones. And as soon as I see the one that's got Horse With No Name, it's the first one. I'm like, oh, this is my guy. I love this guy. Dude, Horse With No Name, number one. And then 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 and 7 all have the same name. Can you guess what the name of the song is for the next 6 songs?
Oh my god.
What do you mean? It's covers? Like,
they're all the same name of songs. Only 2 of them are the same song, meaning that's the same name. name, but not the same song.
God, I have no idea.
Wild Horses. Okay, so number two, Wild Horses by Garth Brooks. Favorite of Tim's. Number three, Wild Horses by Tina Marie.
Oh, my God.
Number four, Wild Horses by Perry Como. And I just want to note, we have not gotten to the Rolling Stones or the U2 Wild Horses song.
Oh, my God.
Number five, Wild Horses by Natasha Bedingfield. Number six, we finally get the Rolling Stones Wild Horses.
That's at six, their heads out. Number six.
I know. Isn't that amazing? There's five songs about horses he prefers to the Rolling Stones, including four ones called Wild Horses.
Oh, my God.
So good. And then Wild Horses by LaBelle, which is a cover of the Rolling Stones Wild Horses. And then just to close it out for me, number eight, Heavy Horses by Jethro Tull. And I was like, I have to kill myself. I can't read anymore.
I would give up, by the way, honorable mention to Old Town Road, which I really hate. And is also
for sure. Although it doesn't have the word horse in the title. Horses kind of.
That's kind a of song about horses. But I thought Tim would think I was breaking. Other songs I like, we've named Wild Horses by the Stones, which is a classic. I love that Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses song by U2. And I specifically love a remix. There's a Temple Bar remix of that song.
Yes, yes.
That is better than the one on Octoong Baby, which it might be my favorite U2 song post Joshua Tree. It is so good.
Wow. That's a big statement.
I love Horses by Ricky Lee Jones.
That's my selection. That's an amazing that album, Flying Cowboys.
Can you play a little? I don't know that song.
Okay, yeah. And while I'm playing that song, we've talked about the song already on this podcast, but Brandi Carlile's Broken Horses is phenomenal. And terrific. Then Tim, my number five is, I believe, your number one.
My number one, Echo and the Bunnymen, Bring on the Dancing Horses.
Do you know that one, Timmy? Do you know that one, Ben? Sorry.
No, I don't know that one.
All right, well, here's Ricky Lee Jones.
We will fly way up high where the cold wind blows, or in the sun laughing, having fun with all the people that you know. And if the situation should keep us separated, you know the world won't fall apart, and you will free the beautiful bird that's caught inside your heart. Can't you hear her? Oh, she cries so loud, casts her wild notes over water and cloud. That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. We'll be riding.
So good. That is a great example of a song that changes keys for the chorus and it isn't too muso, because the song goes from the key of C to the key of F for the chorus. It's pretty slick.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's great. Great album. That's a great record.
That whole record is great. Totally. I can't remember the year of that, but that was a close call on the album.
89. That's a 1989 classic right there.
Well, what's terrific about our podcast is that we don't just go year by year. We sometimes go theme by theme. Check us out next week. Favorite songs about dogs.
Oh, God.
That was a joke.
I hope so.
We're not really doing that.
All I can say is bow, wow, wow, yippee, yo, yippee.
There we go. I know. Jeez. So what about you, Ben? You got any other horse songs?
The horses was mine.
Okay.
I just want to say that you guys froze as I made my dog joke. And I just got crickets for 5 seconds.
Oh no, we were giggling. It was a brilliant joke. Don't worry.
From the get go, you were giggling. I'm not insecure. I was just clarifying.
Yeah, no, it landed instantly as a hilarious bit.
All right. Well, the events of 2018. You know, I feel that on this podcast, I have had moments where I've been anti-Trump. So I am going to try not to do that here as we review 2018. So there were a number of summits that Trump held in 2018. Instead of doing something snarky or mean-spirited or critical, I want you guys to pick which one of these summits would make the best musical if it were made into a musical.
Can we talk about favorite Clydes instead? Because that was the name of the horse you were on. Because I've got Walt Clyde Frazier.
That's number one. Number two is Clyde,
yeah, the orangutan in Clint Eastwood's Every Which Way But Loose.
You got the wrong two.
Uh-oh.
Number two is Clyde the ghost in Pac-Man.
Oh, no, no question. Number three is Clyde the orangutan in Every Which Way But Loose. And then number four is Clyde Drexler, Clyde the Glide Drexler.
That is terrific. Yeah. And then number five is my horse.
Yes, Clyde the horse. There you go. Top five
Clydes. Clyde. All right. Trump had a meeting in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin, where he tried to improve relations between the United States and Russia. He had a summit meeting in 2018 with Kim Jong-un to improve relations with North Korea. He had a summit, a World War I commemoration in France. This is the one where he didn't go to the cemetery because it was raining. And then a NATO summit in Germany where he threatened to leave NATO. If you could picture a musical and the pace and the breadth of a musical, which one would make the best musical? Well,
the
Jeff
NATO
Simons
one, because you could call it Nate No, which is a great name for a musical. See what I did there? That's my pick. I'm sticking with it.
Oh, Jeff. See, you don't even like musicals, but I've got a real sense for what would be the best material. It's obviously the Helsinki one. It's a heartbreaking story. Just sad, unrequited love. One of the characters wears a dog collar, is like held at bay by the other character.
And then you gotta
doesn't that happen in Rent also?
you gotta have a song for the interpreter, like understanding everything from afar. Yeah. Okay. What NCAA event happened in 2018 that hadn't happened after 135 opportunities?
Oh, is that where there was a rematch in the finals at the NCAA basketball tournament?
It was not a rematch in the NCAA basketball tournament. It was the first time since the bracket went to 64 teams that a number 16 team upset
the number one. UMBC.
That is correct. University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
That was awesome. Beats Virginia.
Do you remember, Jeff Sauter, did they beat Virginia on like some miracle last second shot?
They beat Virginia like rented mules. It was unbelievable. They were up like 20 at one point. It was phenomenal.
Clyde is listening, please.
I thought Clyde was a horse.
He doesn't know that either. Okay. Ben Barton, do you remember that game?
Oh, I remember it really vividly. That's fantastic. I felt bad for Virginia. I did feel pity for them. Like, I would have much preferred that it happened at Duke.
Yeah.
And Virginia's like, part of the reason they lost is because they just overachieved and were a really well-coached team. And so that made me sad. I can't remember who it was, but they had a transfer from Tennessee on that team too, who I liked. So that wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Oh, fun. Okay.
I can't wait for a 16 to beat Duke. That's what
I mean. Like, do you remember how low budget, like UMBC's uniforms looked like a high school team? Like, they weren't all the same exact color. A couple of them were like faded from the washing machine. Like, that was amazing. Like, they were the most unlikely 16 to do it. They weren't like a undervalued, like NCAA, who's been to the tournament 14 times, or Ivy. I mean, they're just a state college satellite campus just kicking UVA's ass. And I picked UVA to win the whole thing that year. So my whole bracket went up in smoke, and I was rooting for UMBC.
Right.
5 minutes in, I was like, this is unbelievable. These guys are going to run them out of the gym.
I took a screenwriting course with a guy named Scott Myers, who you may remember from the screenplay for K-9 with Jim Belushi.
Very nice.
Huge, huge UVA fan, just out of this world. And oh my God, his reaction, like they finally had a shot. They're finally like legitimate. And to go down to the 60, I couldn't even speak to him.
That was awesome. I actually have two friends who went to UMBC's law school. So they were dancing.
Oh, fun. So. They must have been excited. All right. Well, let's get to the number one album of 2018. Speaking of musicals.
I just have to preface this by saying I've never heard of this. I had no idea this existed. Like if you put a gun in my family's head and asked me to give you any information about this, they would all be dead. And this song's been listened to 700 million times. So I'm not sure I belong on a podcast about culture.
The loop.
Here we go.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down,
yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come.
Wow.
Oh, Jeff, I'm completely with you, man. I looked that up and I had no idea what the hell that was.
To quote Homer Simpson, I can see why this is so popular.
That's the bearded lady singing one of the most emotionally wrenching songs of the movie. I mean, this is Hugh Jackman, Zendaya. What's the Zac Efron? Huge movie. Where were you guys?
I was doing literally anything else.
I'm looking at the top 10 biggest selling albums in the world.
Yeah.
And Greatest Showman, number one.
Yep. God.
Number two and number three are BTS albums.
Ah, yes.
I did listen to, but have no, right.
Right.
A Star is Born, number four, which would have made me really happy. I love that soundtrack.
Okay.
Connie Halliday, Mon Pays, C'est l'Amour.
Sorry, what?
Not just crickets. Ed Sheeran.
Yep.
Then Queen, okay. Bohemian Rhapsody soundtrack.
Oh, boy.
Beautiful Trauma, Eminem, Kamikaze. And number 10, the Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again soundtrack.
Boy, that might be the worst top 10 in the history of music.
And also so many throwbacks and weird soundtracks.
America's weird. We're all so weird.
No, that's the world. That was the world.
The world's weird, dude. That sucks, by the way. That's 700 million. That sounded like the music behind a 1980s light beer commercial. Like, that's exactly what that sounded like. With that, look,
I can only hope that my daughters do not listen to the 2018 album episode of our podcast, because they will come after you, Jeff Sidus.
Bring it.
They can come for me too.
Children.
That sucks.
Bring it. Form a human pyramid and come at me, bro, because that was terrible.
In a world of unlikable musicals, like I can't, like, listen. In all the best musicals, you can play the best song. I can't hum that song right now.
Right.
And I just listen to it for a minute. Like, I'll wake up in the morning and there's like musical songs in my head, even though I don't like musicals because I have such earworms.
What was the name of that song, Jeff?
Right. You don't even remember the name of the song.
It's like Here I Am, right? It's the big eye moment of every musical. Like, never mind. All right.
I can sing five songs from the Cat soundtrack right now, and I can't sing any of that.
Oh, that goes well with the Donald Trump musical, right? Because he loves, right? Like, they had someone who came in and started playing Memories whenever he got upset.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
That was a recent revelation.
Oh my God. Yeah. So like Saul, like Paul playing the lyre for Saul, they had somebody come in and play the memories on the piano. That is outstanding.
No, he brought a little boom box, apparently. He was like the music guy.
And they brought a boom box and played Cats. That's amazing. It makes me love him 100 times more than I did. And since I love him negative a million, that's not a lot.
Oh, by the way, oh, shoot. I'm turning my cue card over here because of our extensive prep. I forgot to talk about Wildfire. Do you guys remember that song from 1975?
Oh, sure.
About the horse that runs away.
Yeah. That song, that's a horrible song. A horrible song. It's as bad as the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's like one of those tragic songs.
How dare you? Okay, let's move on before things get any more acrimonious. Actually, this will bring us to a lovely moment in the podcast history. I am only going to say two numbers in regards to 2018. And those numbers are 107 and 107. Does that mean anything to anyone here? 107 and 107.
No.
That was the score when J.R. Smith and instead of going back up with it to get the win, J.R. Smith, thinking that Cleveland had the lead, dribbled out to half court with LeBron James saying, "What are you doing?"
Yep. The best part is when you can read J.R. Smith's lips and he looks at me and goes, "We didn't win." That's my favorite part. Because J.R. Smith's ready for a hug. And LeBron James is looking at him like, "What is wrong with you?" He goes, "We didn't win." That's so great.
Well, I got to tell you, since 2018, I thought, oh my God, that cost them the series. Because if they had won the first, that in Golden State, they would have won the whole thing. But recent history tells me that winning the first game,
or even the first and third games, do not guarantee you,
does not mean you will win the series. Congratulations, Jeff Simons, to your Golden State Warriors on their 2022 championship.
I did not have a rooting interest in that series at all, but I can tell you that watching former Nick J.R. Smith become a key cog on a championship game, I was like, how is this possible? This guy was such a goofball. Like, he was like out all night. He kept doing stupid things over and over again as a Nick. And then he like apparently had turned it around as a Cav. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, was I wrong? Was there something about the team? But nope. J.R. Smith turned out to be J.R. Smith.
Can anybody tell me? Time. Can anybody tell me what J.R. Smith is doing right now? Because I happen to know
he's playing golf
for North Carolina A&T. He went back to college because he only played 1 year of college ball. He has 3 years of NCAA eligibility, and he plays varsity golf for North Carolina A&T. And
he's finishing
bought them
his
all new clubs
degree.
And bought them all new putters. And they're having the greatest time ever on the North Carolina A&T golf team. I love that about
it's
him.
It's awesome.
Well, that is a good end to the story for sure.
Yep.
I also love Steph Curry getting his degree this year.
Yep.
Like,
well, you're the one
finishing
who brought
it up.
You went to game four, did you not, sir?
We were up then, right?
I'm sorry, I upset you so much. Your internet gave out.
I went to game four, and I brought the downer.
But you saw what I think is the greatest Steph Curry performance of his whole career in person.
I did. It was terrifying. It was just absolutely like he got the ball in his hands and everyone in the garden just held their breath. I wanted somebody to tackle him. Just like tackle him, put him on the line, give him his 2 points and a bruise, but don't let him hit a 3-pointer.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I remember when Ben squeaked out a few tears when the Knicks got beat in the NBA Finals. And I remember thinking, I wish I could love a team that much. And I will admit, when Curry started crying in game 6, I started crying. And maybe that's just the difference between being 25 and being 52. But he totally got me. Like, Curry started crying. I was like, oh, me too. I, that That I am definitely a sports fan who cares a whole lot and then forgets and can't remember what happened. I'm a little bit of an atheist sports fan, but that, oh my God, this team. Oh, I love this team so much.
Well, yeah. Well, you have a transcendent player on your team. And when you have a transcendent player, boy, that makes a real difference.
And you're following them. Who knows? But he actually seems like he might be a decent human being on top of that, which is
right
icing on the cake. So,
all right. Well, enough Warriors talk here.
Oh, I was hoping this was going to become an NBA segment. Free agency show, because I'm ready for hours of that too.
They just signed Kevin Looney. All right, let's get to our three albums. Who goes first?
I should go first because Ben has been dunking on me for weeks. Like, Ben comes with like a doctoral thesis about his pick, and I'm like, Margaret Glaspie's good. So I'm going to go first because I am picking another kind of new off the radar band because I'm trying not to repeat anything. And so I don't have a ton to say, except that this is a great record. And a very promising band, at least I hope so. So New Zealand, here's my favorite thing I learned today doing some research about this band. Did you know that there is a government program that gives bands money to tour internationally so that New Zealand bands and their music can have an international reach and influence?
Shout out to New Zealand. I mean, they listen to our podcast down there. We've got dedicated listeners down there.
I gotta tell you,
cool.
And also the best interview that I did when I was promoting River Run was from New Zealand. The guy who interviewed me in New Zealand and his blog was the 13th Floor guy. He was the greatest. He listened to my whole record. He interviewed me for an hour, and I've been kind of following him ever since. Auckland is the place to be, man. Like, everybody plays it because they want to go surfing, and apparently the venues are clean and it's safe and you're not going to get COVID. But I just could not believe that the government, there's a young band like, hey, we made a record, and the government's like, hey, you could use 10 grand to go tour the United States and Europe so that you could sell some records. The name of this band is The Beths.
Well, let's go do a live remote.
Yes.
What's that, Timmy?
We should do a live remote in New Zealand. Let's go.
I'm ready. We'll to go move to Auckland. Be great. So the Beths, this is their debut record. Infrequently am I a debut record guy. Like, I actually am the guy who thinks bands tend to make their best record like number 2, 3, 4, at least the very greatest bands. Some bands hit a home run right out of the gate and then they can't, Hello Violent Femmes. There are some bands where the debut is the one. It remains to be seen with these guys. They did Sophomore Slump, their second record, Jump Rope Gazers, that came out in 2020. I did not like nearly as much as this one, but this is a rare debut record where there's I think 10 songs on this record. I love 8 of them. This is a band that knows who they are. They wrote great songs. They didn't get in their way. They didn't overproduce it. They just obviously captured what is a pretty great live show and got an excellent recording of it on tape. The Beths met in high school, which is very charming. The singer and guitar player and songwriter and lead guitar player have been friends since the 10th grade and have been in several bands. They met the other two while they were at university in Auckland. And so it's a homegrown thing. They started playing together in 2014. They didn't make the debut until 2018. They put out a little EP to warm themselves up. And then they put this record, Future Me Hates Me, out. This is just one of those records where I heard the first 5 seconds and was like, I am going to love this record. And I was totally right. It didn't disappoint. It gets better as it goes along. I think the best song is track 7, which is the track I'm going to play. I just think, and again, this is nothing here is breaking new ground, except that it takes all the great elements of rock and roll and mixes them together, right? It's got the energy. It's got the tune smithing. It's got the great guitar playing. It's wonderfully mixed and recorded. It's got all this energy and it's not too perfect. Like, the thing I love about the Beths is it doesn't sound like it was recorded on a computer, even though it surely was. And it doesn't sound like it's married to a click track, even though it definitely is. There's a looseness and an organic kind of openness to the mix that I just, my ears love. So I'm a huge fan of this band. I'm really sad that I didn't love their second record, but I'm not giving up on them by any stretch. They put out a live record last year as a stopgap, which has all the songs from this record on it. And it, that record should just be called We Play the First Album a Little Bit Faster in Front of People. But it's really good. They're a good band. This is Happy Unhappy by a new band that I really love called The Beths. And my computer has frozen. I had that all set up so nicely, didn't I? And here we go. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, it's so good. It's complicated without being twee. There's so many cool things going on in the arrangement when the bass jumps out in the pre-chorus,
so
they change the guitar tone, all those great call and response vocals. It's just a smart, it's just a super competent example of great songwriting and engineering and recording. I don't know. I didn't research who produced or engineered this, but they just did a great job. Like, this is a great example of a band that used the studio enough. But didn't overuse it and get in their own way. So I love this record.
The Beths.
I am a gargantuan fan of this record.
Yeah.
My favorite song is Not Running.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That song is a mainstay on my exercise mix.
Nice.
From the minute this album came out, I've kept it because it's a running mix. And so it's got Not Running. Just absolutely perfect. This is a prime example of a genre that I sadly am not going to get to feature in this time period, but the female fronted power pop punk bands are just killing it.
Yes.
Killing it between sort of the, right around here, 2017, all the way up to the current day. Slot Face is one that I've mentioned, band that I've mentioned from Sweden, and sometimes they're foreign bands. Just absolutely fantastic, super extra mega fun. The thing that I like about it is basically we're dealing with a set menu. Right? Like, there's only so many ingredients you can add to power punk. And having the female singer, songwriter, guitarist, and the vibe that they bring to it, and then also the subject matter of the songs, it just changes. You know what I mean? Like, it just brings a fresh new look at it. Absolutely love it. I'm with Jeff. This record's absolutely great.
Woo! All right. Go Beths. I got to check it out.
All right. On a different note, I'm choosing a very established act. Her sixth album comes out this year, Brandi Carlile.
Yeah, this is a
great let's go.
Pick.
She let's is go. From. She's born in 1981, lives outside Seattle, graduates high school, doesn't go to college, moves into Seattle to try and make it in the music industry. She meets two twins, the Hanseroth twins, who are identical twins and are really identical, like interchangeable identical when you see them on stage. And one's a guitarist and one's a bassist, and she's a beautiful guitarist. She can also play a fantastic piano. And they have amazing old school, old fashioned harmonies. And it's the sort of thing where you don't notice it as much on the record. Although there are some songs like The Eye where you can really, really hear it. But it's a little bit like the Everly Brothers or the Beatles. You know what I mean? Like, when you do the harmonies long enough, it gets to be second nature. It's like a basketball team that's been together for a long time.
That is a perfect analogy.
It blends perfectly. Perfect. It comes in every single song. And that's
Gillian Welch and David Rawlings.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That's what these three are like.
Yep.
I can't recommend seeing her live. I'll get to the record in a second. I can't recommend seeing her live highly enough. I've already recommended it. Saw her at Bonnaroo twice, but my favorite was she did a week-long residency at the Ryman in Nashville, Tennessee.
And oh, wow.
The girls and India Kincannon. We went and saw her on night one because we figured that was the night where all the guests would come. And yeah, the entire High Women came. There were just guests out the wazoo. And she is an electric performer.
Oh, so no good. Doubt.
She's playing in Seattle after the Gold Rush, basically. And she's not a grunge act. So it takes her a minute to get signed. And when she gets signed, they don't really know exactly what to do with her. And you can actually see it through the albums that, first of all, every album has a couple of good songs on it. Yep. There's no doubt about that. And she's always been an electric live performer. I'm going to call out my friends, Jill and Dan, India's college roommate, Jill. In the early 2000s, they were like, oh, you got to go see Brandi Carlile. And I was like that folk act from the story. And they're like, you won't believe it. She's fantastic. And I was like, all right.
That's
and
then exactly I did what happened to me. I heard the record of that one song where she goes up an octave. You're like, this is a gargantuan talent, but the records did not in any way prepare me for what happens live. Just could not agree more. This is one of those once in a lifetime voices, and just an electric personality too. Just awesome.
So as an example of this, in 2015, she puts out The Firewatcher's Daughter, which has several really, really good songs on it. But the cover is super interesting in comparison. That's her fifth album, like comparison to her sixth album. Her fifth album, she's got like a little, like a floppy hat, and she is a beautiful woman. And I'm not trying to say anything about that, but it's like a really cute, like blonde woman is on the cover of her fifth album. Her sixth album is this like really dark self-portrait with a bunch of bags under her eyes where she just looks haggard. And it's on purpose. This is a middle-aged midlife crisis record, and as we've covered many times as 50-year-old white guys, it's one of my favorite genres. This one just absolutely murders me. There's not a bad song on this record. It's fantastic. I've already featured several different songs on this record. There are songs about being a parent. There are songs about losing your own parents. There are songs about giving up on your dreams, and giving up is the wrong way to put it. There are songs about accepting where you are in your life and appreciating it. And that's what this record is about. She's like, I'm not going to be a gigantic rock star. I'm going to put out a record every 3 years with heartfelt songs on it that I've written carefully. And that's going to be my thing. And you know what? People are really going to like it. And it was. This is like her best-selling album. This was a huge hit. This was like got nominated for a bunch of Grammy Awards. The single was The Joke. You could choose The Joke. My two favorite songs I've already played. I'm going to choose my first favorite song on this record, which is in fact the very first song, and it's the name of the record comes from it. Every time I hear that song, Jeff, do you want to hear the first verse, the second verse, or the third verse? You're muted.
I want to hear the third verse, please.
Excellent. Start at 2:20 for the third verse.
The things you never told. That's twin. I was choking on some words. There were things unsaid between us. There were things you never told. That's twice you broke my heart down. The first was way back when. And to know you're still unhappy only makes it break again. By the way, I forgive you. After all, maybe I should thank you for giving me what I found. 'Cause without you around, I've been doing just fine. By the way, I forgive you. I never will, never will forget you for giving me what I found. 'Cause without you around, I've been doing just fine. Except for any time
first, you can hear the harmonies there. I mean, the harmonies are just absolutely beautiful. Second, her songcraft. I mean, so this record is packed with these like little story songs. And this is a breakup song. And of course, I'm a huge fan of the breakup songs. But it's this amazing one where she's looking backwards on it. And she's like, I'm over you. I'm really sad that you're still sad. And she's like, you broke my heart, but now I'm actually the person who feels bad for you. I guess I should forgive you because I'm doing better, except when I hear that song. And I know, I mean, I'm sure both of you guys have this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I don't ever think about that person. I'm completely over it. And then the song comes on the radio. You're like, oh, the phone.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
that's just reeling me back. Like, I'm just immediately right back in that moment.
Don't play absolutely pictures of you.
The other thing so brilliant about the song, and as the one member of the podcast who's been through a divorce, that like I wouldn't have found what I found if I hadn't have met you in the first place.
Yeah.
Like a divorce that you survive teaches you all the lessons you need to make the right choice the second time. And that is so baked into this whole record. Like, you don't have to regret the past if you can live a purposeful present. And that is the real lesson of growing older.
Ooh. Right? Oh, can we frame that on our t-shirts?
We can put it on the back of the Clyde t-shirt.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have to regret the past if what?
If you can live a purposeful present.
Oh,
that's pretty good. I made that up.
I like
that's
it.
Great.
I like it. In a very good Brandy Carlile-esque. It's good.
Yeah.
Job,
yeah.
Timmy.
Wow. That is lovely. Lovely stuff.
I said this already. Jeff. I just want to say, like I said this already, but the best live performance on a television I've seen in a really long time was Brandy doing Broken Horses on SNL. If you have not watched that, this is the second time I brought it up on this podcast.
I did.
Go to YouTube and watch that performance and tell me that isn't the best SNL performance.
Yeah.
Maybe ever. It's in the conversation. It's so incredible.
I took your advice. I went and watched it, and she absolutely crushes it. I mean, she's just devastating. She's so good. All right. Well, I've got a pick for 2018. This is an album I like. You know, I liked Mitski's album this year. There's a band called it's the best named band. What was it? We were promised Jetpacks. They had an album in 2018, but I'm going with an album that my fear is that the two of you will find this derivative. And I'm just going to lean into that and be okay with it. Because the ground this particular artist is covering is a ground that I absolutely love. And what I want to do, Jeff Simons, is I want to play that first song I gave you. And if you could play the first 45 seconds, I think it's To the Horns, and then tell me the artist or the band whose ground Nathaniel Rateliff is covering. Go.
I think that's Austin Powers' Rec Room is the genre that's being ripped off.
You're so mean. You're the meanest person in the world.
Is that definitely not perfect though? That's exactly what it sounds like.
No, and also, what's the name of the Mark Ronson produced woman?
Yeah. The Amy Winehouse record.
Yeah, totally. What's the name of that song? That is that exact song.
It's Valerie. Doom, doom, doom. Oh, no, it's right. It's the other one. They can't remember what it's called, but yes. From that Mark Ronson record. But it's like late 60s, like trashy soul. I love the sound of it. Finish talking about why you love this record, and I will tell you, I'm not going to dunk on it at all, but I'll tell you why I wouldn't buy it and listen to it, but I don't object to it in any way, shape, or form.
Have you ever seen him live?
Yeah.
I wonder what he's like live. But
he's great.
It's good. Yeah, I bet you'd be a lot of fun seeing him live. I really want you to play "Hey Mama" from the 205 Mark, because this is this song kills me about going to your mother and say, "Gosh, I've been working so hard, and I knew it wasn't going to work out. You know, I knew it wasn't going to pan out. You had told me it wasn't going to pan out, and I should have listened to you." And Mom comes back with a little dose of reality for her son. That's the 2018 adult contemporary version of "Mama Said Knock You Out,"
or "Mama Told Me Not to Come" by Three Dog Night.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So there's a whole subgenre of acts that are just great live and never make a good record.
Mm.
And this is one. This is on my short list. I would also add Mark Broussard. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Mark Broussard.
I don't know him.
The soul singer. I saw him at South by Southwest in 2004, and was like, I was like, this is the one of the greatest singers I've ever heard in my life. This guy's gonna sell a million records, and he never put a good record out. I would add the Jay Giles Band to that list. Like 1970s Jay Giles, one of the greatest live acts on the planet, and most of those records
we never talk about that
are like two good songs and eight really shitty songs. And I don't know what it is, whether it's like, if you're so wedded to a throwback sound like this, that is like sweaty nightclub, like there's nowhere to go with it except like, boy, this would be great if it was louder and I had a beer in my hand and there were four people standing around me, but that you can't replicate that when you're just sitting at home listening to music. So, and maybe that's just my own like problem with this particular genre, this particular sound, but that "Son of a Bitch" song, which made this guy's career,
right?
I bet that's really fun in person, and it annoys the hell out of me when people put it on just to listen to. Like, who wants to sit around and listen to like it's like putting on "Da da 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 da
hey
at home, you know, like why would you put that on to listen to at home?
This is really awkward, because that's, I was just listening, never mind. I usually listen to that before podcasts.
I don't know, Ben, do you disagree or
Dahlia really, really likes this band.
Let's go, Dahlia.
To everybody who wasn't me, went to go see them at Bonnaroo just a couple of weeks ago. This is the act that I skipped to get ready for Zach Bryan.
How about that?
I don't like them. They're like discount Avett Brothers, Mumford & Sons to me.
No, they have soul. They have horns.
Wow. I know, but they really don't have soul, because it's a white guy. Like, they just, I apologize for dunking on you. I just don't care.
By the way, Mumford & Sons is the meanest thing that's been said on this podcast in a couple
I said with horns. I added with horns.
But I mean, we trolled Mumford & Sons like they had caused deaths in our families. And you just call this guy not quite Mumford & Sons.
Woo! Wait, when Dahlia and everyone else went, did they enjoy themselves? Put on a good show?
They said it was good. Sorry, it wasn't Dahlia. It was Georgia. Georgia went. Dahlia didn't go at all this year. Okay. Sorry.
But Dahlia likes them, too.
Dahlia does like them, and she repped them and said that we should go see them, and she's mad at me for not liking them. This is another one where it's like, this does sound like a genre that I should like. I just don't like them.
Weird, huh? I gotta hang out with... Never mind. All right.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be all kinds of not right. There's a whole podcast for us to have at some point, and maybe we bring in the age-old guys, but like bands you're supposed to love that you just cannot bring yourself to like.
Oh, that's really
because
interesting.
There's like bands that sound just like bands I love that make me want to puke, and I would be interested to try to figure out what's missing besides like mojo or X Factor or authenticity. Like they're usually it's an intangible thing. So
something.
Speaking of the age old podcast, can I give our friends some, can I do some shameless?
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
I guessed it. Their show on Tuesday is called Greatest Songs Ever Written Under 2 Minutes. And, Rich Price picked one of my own songs. And so a new Jeff Simon song is going to world premiere on the age old question.
Wow.
It's coming Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, have you written it recently?
I wrote it a long time ago, but I actually finished a recording that I'm going to put out in a couple of weeks. So I gave it to them, first.
What's the name?
It's called The Little Fuck You Song, and it is
I remember that 71 seconds song.
Of glory. So
that's
anyway,
a great song. Yeah.
If you have 71 seconds, check it out.
Oh, that's awesome. Cannot wait. Speaking of other music podcasts, Bill Noto from Their Very Best reached out to us. He would like to do a collaboration with us, the two podcasts getting together to decide songs that definitely have to be on a road trip mixtape.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And what songs will we not abide by on that particular road trip? I'll take the bus. Thank you. Anyways.
That sounds great. Those guys are great. I was a guest on that podcast as well. They're doing like essential songs by artists.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about them is they are picking like, they are like rooting around in the weeds for the artists that they're selecting, which is part of what makes it fun. Like they're, you know, they did Beck and then they did Morphine. Like that was their like third band. And what was great is the surviving members of Morphine were the guests the following week to talk about the Morphine song that they picked. So if you pick little tiny bands, they will come and talk to you. So that's probably a good lesson for us. So
that's amazing. Right.
Gentlemen, it is good to be with you again.
Yeah.
To have this moment in our lives.
And look at that. We just made it to the end before the iPad gave out.
My spiritual journey in the desert, a la Jim Morrison, was great as well.
Oh, it brought real clarity. At some point, you have to hear Ben's version of that movie.
I can't wait.
Ben's review of that Doors movie with Val Kilmer is one of the funniest. I actually think I had literal tears rolling down my face when Ben did his Doors movie review.
All right, so listen,
so great
listeners, for next week, you got 1 week. Here's your homework: watch Oliver Stone's movie The Doors, starring Val Kilmer.
Yeah, because you have 3 hours to kill.
We'll all get back here next week and break it down.
I'll just say the one I really remember is Ben is like in that movie, the mystic shaman is a fifth member of the band. That's my that's my favorite insight. still kills me. It's been 40 years. That still kills me.
All right, gentlemen.
Well done, man. Yep. Well done.
Jeff, throw this in Dropbox if you get a chance.
I will. Peace. Well, friends. See you for 2019.
Right. See you.
Bye.
Miles, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wannabet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wannabet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger.
ElectraCast.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
ElectraCast. ElectraCast.